Welcome everyone to another episode of the Jonathan Project podcast. I'm Colby and I'm here with my co-host Jason. Our purpose here is simple. We're trying to help men navigate the complex times we live in to have better relationships with those around them. And we take the biblical Jonathan's example of loyalty and faith with his friend and future King David as the inspiration for this podcast. So let's get into today's show. Jason, first, hey, welcome back home. For all those listening out there may or may not know that you were overseas deployed serving the country. So, hey, welcome back to the States. You know, no more bad haircuts or trying to figure out European light switches for you, right?
That's right. That was my final stop. But it is, you know, I do get to take those beautiful anti-malarial morning mints and evening pills as I get ready to flush that out of my system. So. Appreciate it.
Well, it's good. I'm glad to see you back with your family back here in this good old US of A. So why don't you give us a little recap of what we talked about last week before we jump into this week's topic?
No, absolutely. You know, and that's a lot of people hit us up on that. We talked about don't sacrifice your past for your future. Hopefully that helps some folks out. You know, you got to try to be present. In the present, don't let your past be that anchor that holds you down. It holds the baggage, but it's really a platform you stand on to move forward. And as a Christian, you know, it talks about where your identity is set based on what you focus on. It can either be something in your past or something you're moving towards. But as a Christian, our identity and future is centered in Christ. And it's also not just the things that we possess, which is kind of that segue into where we're headed next.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Yeah, last week's episode, it was really well received. Again, appreciate those out there supporting us. Particularly, I kind of think about my buddy Mark, who's out there listening. He gave us a lot of kudos on that because, again, men are trying to figure out how to have those great futures. But this week's topic, I'm excited. So we're going to talk about why Jesus wants followers and not fans. And one of the greatest examples that we have that's found in three Gospels is called the rich man, the young ruler. Talk about him. Matthew 19, Mark 10, and Luke chapter 18. But Jason, I'm interested to hear from, you know, your kind of perspective and experiences. What is the danger for men to have this kind of mindset that we see with the wealthy man? He was surrounded, had status, and when it was time to be special, he just couldn't show up.
No, I think that's really good. You know, I like that phrase, everybody wants to be special till it's time to do special.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a time, you know, I was coming in out of Iraq. I was a team sergeant with a bunch of guys who were team sergeants, right? And we'd all kind of grew up together. And a buddy of mine had a guy on his team that they found on his social media. We'd already had the discussion, no posting, a bunch of photos of this young man who was not operational in any way. But he was posting up on the doors and he is like, hey, preparing to go into the breach and all these other things.
Oh,
he
created my
beautiful
goodness.
Social media construct about himself. So, you know, a buddy of mine said, he told me the story later. He said, yep, we solved that problem. I asked how. He said, well, we got everybody up about 1 a.m, told them we had to roll out. And we grabbed that young man and said, hey, you got to go too. This is a big deal. We don't have enough bodies. So it gets him to roll out, and the poor guy, you can see the look on his face.
Yeah.
And he was like, nope, this isn't for me. But it's interesting how everybody wants to be special till it's time to do special.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where this guy is. You know, you talk about fans and followers, and I love that. I love that concept. So.
No, yeah. You know, It was such an interesting narrative for me when you look at this young ruler. And I think it's important to start with how at least I define fan, and you can jump in and define it. But a fan is a fanatic, right? A fan is the people that you see destroying their TVs after the Super Bowl. They're the people that are cursing out athletes. They're the ones that are, you know, stalking celebrities. They are fanatical about their team. Or about that person, completely committed, sold out when things are going right and the way that they perceive and look at this particular person. Yeah. However, that's not what Jesus wants. And, you know, it's amazing when you look at the story from Mark's perspective, right? The first thing that we see is Jesus loved this guy. That's what the Bible says. Jesus loved this young man. He saw within him all the potential that this young man didn't see. But the thing that is missed by this young man especially is there was more to it. He couldn't get there on his own, right? His assets, his wealth wasn't going to be enough to be the best man and version of himself. And so Jesus challenges him. It's time to be special. Just like you said, it's time to roll out. It's time to do something. And he couldn't do it. And that's why Jesus doesn't want fans. He wants committed disciples, more importantly.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was doing some research on fans versus followers in sports context, you know, you find that being a fan, it improves your, there's a lot of positives. It improves the social identity. Through social identity, improves your psychological well-being. And it provides you that social interconnectedness, which is, yeah. You know, as we kind of pull that thread, you see the fanatic, right? They want to belong to something. I love it because if you go to any SEC game, you'll find two random fans, let's just say Alabama fans and a Tennessee fans, and all of a sudden they become best friends for the next couple of hours. Probably out of survival because they're, you know, they got to fight together. Yeah. But they do. I think when we kind of talked about it, I thought a lot. As a matter of fact, it was interesting. We were talking about this as I was ordering a cup of coffee on getting ready to get on the road yesterday. And I think it centers on the relationship. You know, fans go to the game.
Yeah.
They'll watch, but when it rains or it gets super cold, they're like, I'm out. They're checking out.
Yep.
But followers, they're the people in the stands who continue to stay, that continue to do things. And I think it centers upon relationships because it's the parents in the stands who are staying.
Yeah.
If you don't know who's staying when it's raining, their kids are on the field or the kids are cheering. And I think our relationship with God, like you and I talked about, it's got to be more than your relationship with someone across the counter. Like, hey, I'm putting in my order. How's your day? Great. It's got to be more than that. And I think that's where we have that. Jesus wants something deeper. And, you know, just like you said, when he talked to that guy, go ahead.
No, I think there was three camps. Right. Jesus had a huge following. Right. Jesus was in his time. He had the concerts that would be selling out arenas. He would make Taylor Swift, you know, kind of blush. Right. Yeah. Because there were people that were following. They're like, hey, you might get a free meal out of this guy. You heard about this guy. He's healing blind people. He's chasing demons out. You got to come to the show. Right. Yeah. To put it into modern vernacular. Yeah. Right. But there were three camps and men fall into these camps just as much as this young ruler. You had the fan who could be absolutely out of their mind. Right. We talked about it's snowing. I'm got the guy that's hairy chest, big beer belly. And he's out there in the snow in Buffalo rolling around like, God bless. Yeah. Then you have the followers. Right. Little Timmy made it to the league or he's doing great. I'm going to watch him. You know, I'm committed to that. I'm happy for the team. Mm-hmm. And then you have another level, which is what Jesus is calling, right? It's where the elite starts coming out. It's disciples. The Bible uses the word disciple. It doesn't use, hey, I just want you to follow me and hang out, get a free fish sandwich, you know, and some bread. I want you to be committed and sold out because we know there were people like, well, wait a minute, we're not getting the free fish sandwich and meal. And you saw the Bible paints this picture and they walk away.
You know, I love it because the Bible describes him in all the three Gospels as a rich young ruler. He hits all the marks, right?
Yeah.
He really does. He's rich. He's got all the possessions. He's young. And, you know, the beauty market is always advertising, please be young again, recapture your youth. But also, hey, if you ever noticed that all those ads are always super young people on there, yeah. And they're like, oh, I use this magical spring water to look young and no wrinkles. No, it's because you are young. You're 20 years old, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's rich, he's young, and he's a ruler. He's hit all the marks. But he comes to Jesus and says, what do I lack? What can I do? And, you know, and I love that perspective simply because it's how you define success. If we look at it on the surface, this guy had all the success, right? He was going to enjoy the wealth that everybody works forever to have. He was going to enjoy it right now. But Jesus peered straight into his heart, and he realized that there was poverty in those riches because that's what that guy lived for. And he says, sell them, get rid of it, come follow me. you know, as I kind of look at this and I reflect, because I was doing some research and doing some study, and interesting fact, there was a thing that came out, and it said what I thought was so important isn't really that important. And what this research group did was they collected data during the first wave of the COVID pandemic, May to September of 2020. The best part about this is it covered 15 countries, and they had almost 1,700 participants doing this, and everybody's approximately 40 years old. So they got a good perspective of, hey, this is what's important to me in life. They're in their careers. They're in their mid-careers. So they are the, you're absolutely in this net going to pull in the rich young rulers. And they had four themes. Presence and absence of others was their greatest problem.
Mm-hmm.
Rediscovering oneself was something that came up. Hey, I need to know who I am. I need to know the meaning of life, daily life, and they rethought their values. But the most prevalent of all those themes in that study centered upon those relationships, which is what Jesus is telling him. He says, so I want you to sell those things, those anchors that you've got, that you've devoted your life to doing.
Yeah.
I want you to come follow me. I want your identity to be with me. And the guy, he just walks away, right? Like he's, if I remember correctly, if I think about it, he's the only guy in the Bible that kneels before Jesus and walks away in a worse position.
Yeah, I think he is one of the clearest examples of someone that rejected, right? And here's a key nugget from the story. You know, I don't think he was a fan. I think he was a follower, right? And he fits into this category as I think and study it out, you know, more. When Jesus said something like, I'd rather you be hot or cold than lukewarm. Because if you're lukewarm, it makes me want to puke. Modern Kobe translation.
Yeah. Right?
This guy was in the puke category. And here's why. Because he had enough of a relationship. He had enough of an intimacy with the Lord himself, the creator of all things, that Jesus says, I love this guy. Right. So he was probably used his status as young ruler. He pushed through the crowd. He had the VIP backstage pass. He got an extra fish sandwich. Right. He's there when Peter is doing Peter kind of things. He's seeing John. He's seeing Mark, you know, Luke. So all of these guys had a good perspective on him. And so much so that the most chief and center person in that was Jesus. And Jesus tells him and challenges him to be the best version of himself, right? And this guy can't do it. He just wants to follow. And I think that's the danger for a lot of men, especially Western Christian men, to do. There's so many labels that we like to throw out nowadays to identify ourselves with. Mm. And we want to say, oh, I'm from a red, I'm from a blue state, I'm from a purple state, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this alphabet, I'm that, I'm this. But here's one for you. I think a lot of men, after Sunday service, that's where it stops. You're a Sunday morning only. You're a smoke, right?
Yeah.
And it plays itself out in following him. You're just following. It feels good to be a part of something bigger. But when it's time to be committed and be a disciple, transforming the world around you, transforming hearts, it falls short. And you can't have an encounter, as we see with this wealthy man, with Jesus and walk away the same. You're either for him or you're against it.
You know, you said something about, hey, they're Sunday morning only. When things get tough, people just kind of vacate. They pull out, right? And they're like, it's raining. It's a little cool. I'm going to step off the playing field. And I thought about that. If you are a follower for Christ, you absolutely make an impact on others. You may not realize it, but people can delineate between truth and false, right? And I think back in my life to the men that set the kind of, they were followers. You know, I grew up in a pretty rural area. For those listening, you can figure that out with my accent. But we had a small country church, right? And the pastor there, he was a follower. Like his life was being a pastor. He was a shepherd of that little flock. But, you know, it takes strength, it takes courage, and it takes dedication to do special things when it's called on, right? It's easy when you're winning. It's not easy when you get punched in the mouth and you got to get back up. But that's where a follower and a fan differentiate, right?
Yeah.
I think about this man, strongest man I've ever met in my life. And we've talked about feats of strength over time. You know, I always kind of joke a couple of buddies of mine. I'm like, you know, you're one of the top five strong people I've ever met. And they are all real humble. And they're like, no. And I go, hey, man, I need you to point out some other buddies that we have who can front squat 225 and then push it overhead with ease multiple times, or who has a 600-pound deadlift. But when I think of followers, really real strength is centered around your ability to follow Jesus Christ. It's not a physical attribute like that. It's your ability to stay at it. There was a man in that church, and he hands down remains the strongest man I've ever known. He, in one day, Colby, he lost his daughter and two of his grandchildren in a car.
Sure.
It was horrifying. It was an extremely rough time. We're all very close. And the next Sunday, he got up and praised God and says, "Hey, you know, I know where they are. We're going to," and he led worship. He sang the song Beulah Land. I'll never forget it. And I thought about that guy. I thought, when in the ring of life, when he got pummeled, he still followed Christ. And, you know, I think that's the difference between fans and followers. When rough times come, what do?
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, and as I think about, you know, a modern kind of application for the story of the young ruler, the rich, wealthy man there, it's really about your own assets, your own strengths, all those things that you talk about. They're not enough for this thing that we call life. There's going to be moments like you just described where you get punched in the mouth, right? I think about, again, an experience from a combat situation where I saw a commander, this guy I'm supposed to be following, absolutely break down and completely go into the freeze mode, right? And as you know, there's guys that are going to fight to the death. There's guys that are going to pee down their leg. And then there's guys that are just going to freeze up and hope for the best, right? And he fell into this camp. But it was kind of like the Band of Brothers. He was the guy that was high hole silver. Everything was great when it's peacetime. But when it's oh dark 30 and you're looking through those green little lenses and it's time to go and do something, this guy froze. And I'll never forget having to step up and push men to go through, like you said, the proverbial breach, because now it's time to be not just happy to be here, not just waiting for someone to thank me for my service.
Yeah.
Now it's time to execute, right? And that is what we need in this modern era, right? We don't need the guy that's happy to be known to be a good man at church. He puts a lot into the tithing, Ben. He's happy to be on the board. He's happy to be seen, but he's not leading at home. He's not leading in the community. He's not leading in his business.
Yeah.
And we look at the society around us, again, it falls on men's shoulders because that's the hierarchy. And I'm not trying to be mean, but you can't walk into a church and walk away the same. You can't have an experience with Jesus, as we see with this young ruler, and be the same. You're kidding yourself.
No.
And so it's time to step up. Yeah.
You can't have an experience with Jesus. You can't have an experience with a true follower and then get sold, you know, the cotton candy individuals or any of it, right? I think about that young ruler. So he shows up and I love it. You know, he gets two fish sandwiches. he has the backstage pass. But in that, you know, when you expand that story out, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's about to get crucified. Yep. He always speaks crucifixion, resurrection. Like, we're going to have some really rough times. I mean, crucifixion stands out in history as the roughest time for any. And then he tells him, he says, "I want you to sell everything. I want you to get rid of it. I want you to get rid of those chains, and I want you to follow me." You know, having stuff is not, it's not bad. It's when the stuff rules you.
Yeah.
You know, Abraham had stuff, but he also said, "Hey, I'm looking for a home. It's not made by human hands."
Yep.
And, you know, "I'm going to live in a tent." But he kept getting stuff.
Yeah.
Nicodemus was rich. There's tons of people who are wealthy, but it's not what anchors their heart.
No.
And, you know, as a follower of Christ, when it comes time to lead your family, or when it comes time to, "Hey, I need to teach you the ethical ways of doing business and things like that. Ethical, be ethical with the resources God gives me." Are you teaching your children to do that? Or are you teaching them that, "Hey, all's fair in business," and so forth, right?
And no, you're right. And I think Jesus leaves in the account from Dr. Luke, who was always very detailed in the way that, and analytical as you would expect for a physician, even in the first century, to be. Mm-hmm. He leaves a very sobering kind of thing. And Jesus was everyone. I won't say everyone. I think the world has this perception of Jesus being like really soft, this weak man. And he was anything but it, because I don't know anyone that could have taken lashes from the Roman equivalent of a tier one type operator kind of guys, which is what the Praetorian were when they were lashing Jesus and still do what he did. But that's another episode for another day about Jesus and how he is the ultimate man. But the point is when we look at the story and account from Luke, he says that your assets, when he tells rich people, he says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And he's using a very dramatic thing that some have tried to whitewash and say there was, oh, he's talking about this gate, which you can study it out. There's nothing there. Jesus was saying a very clear point that it's easier if you took this camel and try to ram it through an eye of a needle than for someone who is uber rich, self-made man, like that's something we like to use in the modern world, and get to heaven. It's not to say rich people can't. Like you said, there's plenty of rich people that are doing the right things. The challenge is, will you surrender all that you have, which is the central point of this whole message, what Jesus asked him, and depend upon me, right? Because all that rich stuff, all the stuff that the rich man had, that was Jesus gave it to him anyway. But he wanted to know if you're going to give it back to him. That's the point. Yeah.
It's all his stuff. Think about it as a dad, you know, and his Father's Day is when people listen to this. It was last Sunday. I hope everybody had a good one. But the best gifts are the ones your children make. It's not the ones where they go, oh, I took the money that you earned and I bought you something. So it's those that center around that emotional connection. And I think that's where Christ is really hitting him. He says, look, what's your heart anchored in? What are you grabbing when the house is on fire? Are you grabbing all of your whatever, you know, your bowls that you collect or, you know, whatever? Or are you grabbing your kids and your family? Well, if that's what you're grabbing, you ought to make sure they're going to heaven too.
Yeah.
Now, what's your focus, Dad? How do you define success? If you're a friend, how do you define success in your buddies? Are we going to heaven? Because this stuff's pretty temporary. I mean, look at the stock market. Everybody watches it and it goes up and down and up and down. That's a nightmare. But those are all temporary things. And I right now, as the older you get, you're going to have friends that are going to get old. They're going to get sick, right? And some sure. pass away. But ultimately, I had a friend of mine, and there's two of them right now. One's in bad health, and one is pushing the other around in the hospital appointment in a wheelchair. And I talked to him, and I said, hey, man, thank you for what you're doing. It means a lot that you're there taking care of our buddy. And he says, you know, I've learned something super valuable. He said, I'm deepening my relationship. We get to spend time together and do these things. It was a good way to look at it. And, you know, I think as a Christ-centered friend, as a good friend, you're helping, you know, that's where your focus is on not the material things that are all going to burn and fade away, but it's on the things that matter. What's my relationship with Jesus? Can I share that with others? For people that get caught up in their car or their house, you know, go to your local junkyard, take a look at those rusted out buckets of metal and realize at one point that was on the showroom floor as the newest model.
Well, that's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Well, Jason, great conversation on really the impact that choosing to be a follower, choosing to be a disciple of Jesus over being fanatical about Jesus, and there's a difference, really what that can make in men. What would you say are a couple nuggets to take away as men kind of contemplate what we said here today?
You know, I think some of the big things that I always learned when we talked, and you know, if we kind of pull those nuggets of knowledge out, hey, where's your heart? What is it saying? Is it centered around your work? Is it centered around being the young, rich ruler? Or is it something deeper? And what are you sharing with people? Are you sharing with them Jesus? As a good friend, and we'll tie it back to the Jonathan Project and so forth, of being that good friend and realizing that if you got a buddy who falls into that category and that's all he searches for, man, he's on the wrong track. He's on, you know, he really is. And it's our job as Christian friends to kind of hey, let's relook at life. Let's look at what really, really matters. Those are tough conversations, but God didn't call you to weakness. He called you to strength. He says it over and over, be strong and be of courage.
Sure.
So those are some things I took away from.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I really enjoyed this conversation because it's important and critical for men to understand that it's not enough just to be associated with Jesus. You have to be willing to follow and to be a disciple of Jesus and help others come along. So now that you're back here in the States and we're moving into our free flow time here, what are some things that have been on your mind, on your heart? What have you been experiencing besides just trying to get some good sleep, which I know is vital as you're recouping here?
Sleep is awesome. You know, coming back into America, I realize, and of course, traveling abroad and all over the place, you know, just really happy to be home and spend time with family. That's a huge one. I have come to realize that people can't drive all over the world. It's not just, we don't corner that market. I literally was driving down the interstate the other day and saw, it's amazing the people who have their iPhones up.
Oh my goodness.
They're on their steering wheel or they're driving with their knees. I was like, whoa, wow.
I think that'll be the hardest thing. And I don't want to even mention, but I would have a lot of heartburn and it would take a lot of restraint not to just want to snatch someone out of their seat. If I find that they've caused an accident and I know that the guy was on the phone, right? I'll say, God, I give a lot of grace to women. I can't really do nothing with that one, but a guy, right? But, I mean, again, it's just one of these things. It's like, it's so unaware, it's so selfish to me. Like, and again, it's a mental weakness. I'll just say that. I'll be bold enough to say it. You have to be entertained while you're driving. Like, you have to, you're so important that you kind of send that message. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not on a high horse. We all do it. But come on, man. Like, it shouldn't be a habit all the time.
Yeah. One person was scrolling through. I could see their screen because they were pretty close. I could see they were scrolling through TikTok or something or whatever the social media thing is. No, it was good. And of course, driving on the interstate was a good chance to catch up with people. And, you know, I was actually talking to a friend of mine about this program.
Yeah.
And, you know, and us trying to use this to help guys. I was very fortunate growing up. I had those bumpers, you know, friends that prevented me from doing wrong.
Yeah,
that kind of anchored me back towards Christ. Me and another guy were talking about it. And I said, you know, it's kind of like those, if you go bowling, it's the bumper lanes. So that you, as you put out for a child and you're like, oh, yay, you made it all the way down. It's just a gutter, right? And because like most men that I know, I had more gas in the tank and a bigger engine than I ever had brakes. And, you know, that's not good.
No, I had bumpers too, but they weren't friends. It was called my dad, and not having him tear it out the frame.
Yeah,
that was the bumper. Like, I don't think I should probably be doing this. and it's something I share with my son all the time. Like, and he's getting to that age, you know, where it's hard to. And we had a really rough year towards the back end of the school year with influence, right? And I told him this as you're growing into a man, you can't follow every guy. Right. Kind of to the kind of point of what we were talking about today with the rich young ruler. He was following the right guy, but he just chose not to be influenced from. Right. Yeah. Whereas my son has made some choices with some of the young people here. And I like to call it, a lot of the parents are free range, since everyone likes free range this and organic, where anything goes, and it translates to their children. And my son has been picking up on some of that stuff. So, you know, I've had to put those bumpers, so to speak, like, hey, like, I get it. I'm going to be the uncool dad. I'm not trying to be your best friend right now. I'm trying to be your dad.
No, so, that's absolutely it, right? Like, if for guys out there that don't understand it, there's no static state. There's never a neutral time. There's always something trying to influence your family. You choose whether it's you or whether it's the 47,000 other things that are coming in. And
yeah.
You know, we even have a term now, the influencers. I remember the first time I heard that, you know, I was like, what are they influencing? What do you, I didn't understand it. That,
yeah.
Of course, as we've discussed our technical incompetence of things, you know.
We're getting better. We're getting better.
We are getting better. I mean, it's, we'll see. We'll see. But no, that's it. And I know we're kind of closing out the 30 minute mark here. So yeah.
Again, welcome back. I'm so glad that you're back here in the good old land of the free and home of the brave.
Yeah.
But I want to thank and take a time and give you a chance to do the same. Like I said, I thank my buddy Mark. I thank, you know, friends, family. So many people have actually popped up and said a lot of positive things about what we're trying to do here. And again, we're not the only ones out there trying to impact men from a Christian worldview kind of point and trying to help men in our opinion. And what I believe is the absolute truth, being the best version themselves in that relationship with Jesus Christ. But, you know, I appreciate all of you under our voice. Whether you said something, you prayed for us, whatever it is, that we're having the impact that Jesus wants, Jason. So is there anyone that you want to call out, highlight?
No, you know,
we wrap things up.
Spent yesterday talking to a good buddy, Tyler, and, you know, I got different texts from different guys, you know, from Clay and Kevin and different guys that are absolutely praying for the show. And I think that in God's economy, that's amazing. You know, really do appreciate that. And look forward to getting any more feedback that we can.
Yeah, absolutely. So, folks, that is another episode of The Jonathan Project with Colby and Jason, two men who are imperfect but are finding their way through this world with the perfect risen Lord Jesus Christ. You can find this podcast every Thursday morning as it's streamed on Spotify, Apple, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Apple. You can find it on all your favorite podcast streaming services. You can also reach us at the Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. Again, the Jonathan Project Podcast at gmail.com. Drop us a comment, talk about episodes you want to come up. Whatever's on your heart that you want to share with us, please drop us a note there. Again, something to look forward to next week, but we're going to talk about probably division. That's something that's looming large and kind of big in our modern Western society, specifically, but across the world. So that'll probably be episode 5. I want, on behalf of Jason, to thank him for his time, thank him for his service. Happy Father's Day, because by the time all you men out there that are fathers and have that awesome title will hear this, it will have Father's Day come and gone. Hope you didn't get something besides just a tie. You got something good. But on behalf of Jason, thank you. And I will see you next week. Take care, buddy.